Welcome to Kaidan Japanese Scary Stories. This is Ryoko.
And this is Kat.
So it's been a little bit. We're so sorry. It took this long to release the next episode. But yeah, we were just so we're busy and just handling personal stuff right now. That kind of was hard to find time to translate and record. Yeah. But now we're back.
And it's the summer.
Yes. Scary story time in Japan. So we hope to come back with like a ton more stories this summer and like more frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week it's kind of a yokai episode since I really love yokai stuff and we have a lot of them. So hope you enjoy these. And here's the first story. So this story is from Uezato Hiroshi. He's a singer and scary storyteller. And we covered one of his stories. His grandmother is a Yuta, which is a spiritual medium shaman type thing that's like Okinawa based. And so he has a lot of stories from his like upbringing because his grandmother had these kind of powers. And like, it skips a generation, so he also had them, so he would experience supernatural things too. So this specific story is something that happened to him when he was in preschool or early elementary school. He originally was born on Miyako Island in the Okinawa area, but due to certain events that happened, his family moved around a lot when he was like very young, like to Tokyo and Guma and various other places. So it wasn't until he was about first grade that him and his family returned back to Okinawa, like Miyako Island. So this is something that happened to him when he first returned. And he was saying in the summer, Okinawa and especially Miyako Island are very, very hot. And at the time, many of the houses still didn't have AC, or at least having AC wasn't part of the culture. So usually when it got really hot at night, people would just leave their sliding doors open.
Wow, so trusting.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this is something that he said he did, but I also did as a child and when I visited my grandma.
Like the whole sliding door?
Yeah, so
not
usually...
Not like a window?
Not like a window. Typically, the sliding door would open up to the yard, like front or backyard. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy for people to access.
Very trusting.
So he said... they would just leave the sliding doors open, which literally it wouldn't, when it's open, is like right to the yard. And since they leave the door open at night, a ton of mosquitoes come into the room in the summer. So as you sleep, your body will just automatically, like as you sleep, you're like slapping the mosquitoes that land on you. Like you're not even, you don't even have to like wake up and like slap, like you automatically, like just all night, just slapping. And since everyone sleeps together in one room at night, sometimes you just hear your family members slapping the mosquitoes. So it's just kind of like a noise that you're familiar with at night. So that night this happened, he woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of slapping. And he doesn't remember what time exactly it was he woke up, but it was probably really, really late. And when he woke up, he thought to himself like, oh, I got up at such a weird hour. And as he opened his eyes, like, just slightly, he saw, like, outside of his open doors, like, there's a little bench area in the front yard. And on the bench, he saw the shape of a person there. And at first, he thought it was probably his grandmother. But as he's, like, he keeps looking at the person, he realizes that this isn't his grandmother. And he's just, like, squinting towards whoever it is outside. And he sees, like, that the person... the silhouette of a person sitting there is waving around something, like something that looks like branches or sticks or something in front of them. And they're just like waving it in front of their face. So then he's thinking to himself now like, oh, I think I'm seeing something, like something supernatural. But like, what is that? What am I seeing? And that's when from behind him, someone taps his shoulder and says like, oh, Nini, can you see that? Do you know what that is? And it was his grandmother's voice. So he thinks like, oh, so that thing outside definitely is not my grandmother. And behind him, his grandmother says again, like, Nini, can you see that? Do you know what that is? So to this, he doesn't say it out loud, but he kind of nods his head, kind of like saying yes. And as he nodded, like in his futon, when his chin met the top of the blanket, it kind of made a very faint like rustling noise. And from that noise, the person outside seemed to have like heard it or something, because now they stopped waving their hand and they're staring at him. And behind him, his grandmother still tapping his shoulder and asking him, like, Nini, can you see that? Do you know what that is? So Nini is a nickname his family calls him by, since he has a younger brother. And it's kind of like a shortened form of Oni-chan, which is big brother. So his, like, grandmother and mother, they all call him Nini. And so his grandmother just keeps asking this question and tapping his shoulder. And he keeps nodding, like, yeah, yeah, I know, I know. But now he knows that whatever outside knows he's awake and sees them. So he's a little scared now. And slowly he starts to see them moving closer towards him. So this scares him so much. He's like frozen in fear, like thinking like, go away, go away. And he closes his eyes really tightly to like try to pretend to sleep. And even as he's like trying to pretend to sleep, from behind, his grandmother's tapping his shoulder and saying, Nini, can you see that? Do you know what that is? And now he's thinking like this is annoying. Like, I know it's something supernatural. Like, please be quiet. Like, they know now and they're coming closer. Yeah, like, you gotta stop this. They know. So, but she won't stop. And she keeps, like, asking, like, Nini, do you know? Do you know? And then the speed she's asking is getting faster and faster. Like, Nini, do you know? 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 And it keeps going and it's super fast. And then suddenly he just hears, like, loud laughter from right behind him. And, like, this, he's, like, super shocked from this, and he quickly opens his eyes. And when he opens his eyes right in front of him, he sees that the person that was moving closer towards to him was his grandmother. And she's, like, looking, like, into his face and asking him, like, what happened? Like, are you okay? So now he's confused. Like, whoever was tapping his shoulder wasn't his grandmother. And the odd person he saw outside of his door turned out to be his grandmother. So now he has no idea what or who was tapping his shoulder. So then he like gets up and he tells his grandmother what he just experienced. And his grandmother just tells him like, oh, I see. Like, it seems like you probably got teased by a Kijimuna. And at this point, he had just returned to Okinawa. So he didn't really know what a Kijimuna was. But Kijimuna is kind of a yokai spirit native to Okinawa. And they're also said to be like the Gajumaru tree, like Chinese banyan tree spirit, like something like that. It's a yokai in Okinawa, specific to Okinawa. So his grandma tells him this, like, oh, you got teased by one. So then he's just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess that's what it was.
But how did it know his nickname?
So his grandmother says, like, she says, like, I guess you took after my blood. Like, it's possible that, like, I mean, Kijimunans are famous for playing tricks. So maybe he had been watching this family, so he knew the nickname. But yeah, so then his grandma's just like, oh my gosh, you have the power too. You saw Kijimuna. Like, how funny. It teased you. But he was like, that was so scary. And at this point, like, he was just like, I don't really care about that. Like, now I'm crazy scared and I just want to sleep. So then he, like, went to sleep. And then this whole thing happened in the middle of summer vacation. So he had to get up early to go do the radio taiso at school.
Sorry, before you get any further, what was his grandma doing just in the middle of the night with, like, waving branches around?
Okay, I just assumed since she was, like, a shaman, you know, like a Yuta, so maybe she's doing Yuta stuff.
This is a Yuta holy blessing stuff.
Holy blessing stuff, which is kind of creepy, too, but, like, but at least that's your grandmother, so, you know. It makes more sense.
It was just like in the middle of the night, you open your eyes and a weird shadow is just like, there was another like yokai thing where it's like, if you know what it is, like it's like a shadow that's like moving. And if you realize what it is, you go mad.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of like that.
This is grandmother. The Kijimuna was playing tricks. But anyway, like, so he went he had to get up early to go to school to do Radio Taiso, which in Japan during the summer vacation, if you have a reason, like you're out of town or something, you don't have to do this. But if you're still in town, like it's not the whole summer, but the beginning of the summer, you have to go to school. Like every elementary school student, I'm not sure, I don't think middle school. It seems like younger kids, maybe actually older too. But anyway, students go to the school early in the morning to do like exercises together to start your day.
Like a summer vacation to me.
Just in the morning, but yeah, you have to go and you have to do exercises together, and they like they'll stamp
in during summer vacation.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to get you to like move your body and stuff. So, so he woke up early. He goes to school and did the Radio Taiso with everyone on the school field.
Sorry, for people who don't know what Radio Taiso is.
It's actually, I don't know. This is actually a very interesting part of the culture. My grandma, my mom and grandma actually both did it. They air this on TV like 6 a.m. It's like a set exercise routine. I mean, I don't know what you...
Yeah, like calisthenics.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's actually like very...
It's very short too. It's about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, there's like the, if you watch it, there's some on YouTube and they're very helpful to like start your day.
And they make it easy so like anyone can do it, kind of.
Yeah, there's like a regardless of sitting version, age, standing version. It's just like morning exercises.
Morning exercises just
and get stretches.
Blood pumping.
Yeah.
So he goes and does the Radio Taiso with everyone on the school field. And so that day after, it was on their schedule. After they do their Taiso, Radio Taiso, they had to walk laps around the school ground. So him and the other kids were walking laps. And as he's walking laps, he suddenly noticed that in the middle of the field where they're like walking, there's the same silhouette he saw yesterday outside of his door. And now he's like, oh, like, isn't that a Kijimuna? Like, he knows right away. And then he's like looking at it. And then he realizes that it's like looking back at him and kind of like smirking. So then when he sees like the Kijimuna like smirking at him, he kind of gets like pissed off, like it was like making fun of him or something. So then he boldly, like just not even thinking, starts walking really fast towards it in the middle of the field and like yells like gah, like at it. And it like startles the whatever it is, but then as it got startled for a moment, it got really, really angry afterwards, and then like jumps on top of him. And the thing is, like, they had really long nails, like long fingers or long nails, and they're like scratching him up and like tearing into his back and body. And they're also biting him and stuff, and it hurts so much. He's like yelling, like, it hurts, help me, help me. But when he looks around him, the rest of the students on the field are just like standing around and like laughing, and, like pointing at him. And he's confused. Like, he's like, why is no one helping him? So then he somehow manages to fight this thing off of him and like throws it off of him, and then it like runs away. And he's like in so much pain, and like he's all scratched up, and he's like bleeding a little bit and stuff too. And that's like when his friends and classmates like run over to him finally. And his friends are like half laughing, and they're like, why did you start a fight with a dog right now? And he was like, what? No, like, it was a Kijimuna there. I saw it, like, it attacked me. And his friends were like, no, it was a stray dog. And then he looks towards where the Kijimuna ran off, and like he kind of faintly catches a glimpse of it like running off. But then this time he sees that it's like a dog. So then now he's just wondering, like, what just happened right now? And then he goes home and he tells his grandmother what had happened. And she tells him, like, oh, like, you got teased again by the Kijimuna. Like, ho, ho, ho. So then she's like, oh, but you keep getting teased, huh? Well, it's like, well, anyway, like, why don't you come over here and, like, show me your back? So in his house, he was saying that his grandmother always had this, like, old pot of like brown colored liquid And he didn't really know what was in it, but she always had it. So then she opened that pot that she always had and smeared the brown liquid, like, on his wounds. And he said, like, it healed in a couple hours.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Magic remedy.
Magic remedy. So later on, and he did more research on the Kijimuna, and nowadays, like, Kijimuna is kind of like a cute mascot of Okinawa.
Mm.
And they're kind of always portrayed as, like, a cute little boy with, like, long red hair. And it's, like, one of the most famous yokai from Okinawa. They even have, like, a festival named after it and stuff.
Mm.
But the thing is, the Kijimuna he saw, like, looked a little different from the drawing.
Mm.
And, like, the mascots he's seen around in Okinawa. And, like, the Kijimuna, like, the biggest difference that he saw from the thing that attacked him was that it had four eyes.
Mm.
And, like, typically, it's not really said that the Kijimuna has four eyes. So he was like, this thing had four eyes on its face.
So maybe it wasn't.
So to this day, he's not 100% sure if that was really a Kijimuna or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, his grandma just was like, oh, it's a Kijimuna. It's fine.
No biggie.
But
harmless.
He's just like, are you sure it had four eyes? And that's, like, that's the story. But it's interesting. So it could be that, I mean, it's, like, a variation of a Kijimuna.
Uh-huh.
Because Kijimunas are known to be, like, tricksters.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they usually do stuff, like, I've heard stories where they, like, lay on top of somebody when they're sleeping to give them, like, sleep paralysis and mm-hmm. stuff. And, I mean, sometimes they, like, befriend humans, but, like, all the stories of them befriending humans, it's, like, ends bad. Then, always. They, it never is that they're just friends. It's, like, it's their friends. And then it's, like,
them.
Yeah, so they're, like, mischievous.
Mm.
So it is possible that it was, like, playing a trick on him, but then it's like, what if it's not a Kijimuna because it had, like, four eyes?
Mm.
There's a drawing he did of it, so we'll probably post that up on our Instagram. Like, I think maybe, I'm not sure, like, it's hard to tell for yokai stuff too. It's like, depending on the artist, it looks a little different too.
Yeah,
the ones I've seen also are just like little, like, troll type boy. They look like maybe toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Boy with, like, leaf skirt and red hair and, like, pointy ears.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that, like, the city of
yeah, like, the cute version
that they sell as, like, a mascot in Okinawa. So, and his drawing, I mean, it's a very simple drawing, so it could be, here's actually,
I'll show.
This is what he saw, so.
I mean, I guess it still could be.
It still could be. But yeah, it's very interesting. Mm. It's very interesting. And yeah.
I don't know. I feel like even if I knew that it was a trickster, if I saw that in the middle of
no,
my
No, I would not
I
be okay.
I would be like, hey, you!
And also the fact that it can, like, mimic, like,
yeah.
voices and stuff, that's really creepy.
That's really creepy.
Like, he used his grandmother's voice on him.
Yeah. And it, like, knew his nickname.
But then it also made me think, because the story we had covered from him before also mm-hmm. was the situation too, right? Where he thinks he saw...
That's true.
...his mother.
Yeah.
But it wasn't,
like,
quite...
twice.
Yeah.
But actually none of them were
so
his
So then mom. I was like, oh, is it, like, Kijimuna related? Like, are they that kind of evil? I don't know, but it's very interesting to think about.
Maybe it's, like, an upgrade of a Kijimuna.
Yeah. So,
a dark one.
A dark Kijimuna. But yeah, so we'll probably put up a couple reference drawings. Oh, his drawing and then, like, what the mascot looks like. So, yeah, interesting. So this next story is from Hibiki Yohei. He also goes by the name DJ Hibiki. He's a scary storyteller and DJ that tells, like, a lot of stories at these scary story events. He heard this story from a man he met who worked at, like, an ad agency or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let's just call him Hiroki-san for this story. So Hiroki-san grew up in the Yokosuka area. And when he was about in first or second grade, he had an older brother who was college aged. And his older brother was, like, super fun and super outgoing, and they used to, like, talk and play a lot together. And one day, his older brother and a few of his friends were going to go out, like, late at night to do a courage test. And they were going to take his brother's friend's car and they were going to go to a spot like a bit further out. And as a young child, like, this sounded so fun, like an adventure or something. So he begged his older brother if he could tag along with them. Mm. And eventually his brother caved and he was allowed to tag along with them. And he said he couldn't really reveal the exact location of where they went, but it was a certain mountain road in the Kanto region. And this mountain road, there had been, like, numerous supernatural sightings along the road up the mountain. So his older brother and three of his friends, like, plus him, started, like, driving out to this mountain road. And on their way there, they suddenly, like, one of his brother's friends says, like, oh, like, they're doing a festival over there. Mm-hmm. And hearing this, like, Hiroki-san looks out the window and, like, sure enough, he sees, like, in kind of a far, slightly far off mountain. It's, like, mostly pitch black, but you see some, like, lantern lights going up the mountain. Mm-hmm. So from there, they say, like, oh, you're right. And they're like, oh, should we go check it out real quick? So then they start driving towards where they see the lanterns. And when they get to where they think they see the lanterns, they kind of make it to a torii gate for, like, a temple, like an old torii gate. And they park the car and they all get out of the car and they go to the gate. And from the gate, there's kind of a long stone staircase or stairway that goes all the way up the mountain, probably to the temple. And from where they're standing below by the torii gate, they can see, like, a bunch of lanterns, like, up. Mm-hmm. The stairs. So they're thinking, like, oh, I guess there is actually, like, a festival, like, at this late hour. Mm. But, like, something about what they're looking at is kind of creepy to them, so no one's really, like moving to go check it out. So then finally, like, one of his brother's friends says, like, oh, I'm gonna go check it out real quick. You guys, like, wait down here. Mm. So he runs up the stairs, and they're all waiting down at the gate for him to return. When, like, just a couple minutes, maybe not even a couple minutes later, they see his brother's friend, like, running, sprinting down the stairs super fast. And his face is super pale. And they're like, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? What did you see? And his brother's friend's like, it's not a festival. We have to go. Let's get away from here.
What?
And they're all confused. And they're like, what? What's wrong? What did you see? But his brother's friend's just, like, super pale, saying, like, it doesn't matter. Let's go. Like, hurry. Back to the car.
I wouldn't even ask. I'd be like, okay. He runs.
But everyone's just kind of, like, confused because, like, this is just so sudden. And then this is when, like, for Hiroki-san, he was still so young, like, first, second grader age. Mm-hmm. So even though he was scared, he was also curious.
No.
So his curiosity won out. So then he yells out, like, I'm gonna go see too.
No.
And he runs up the stone stairs.
This is like in the horror movie where you're like, God.
Like, that's the dead one, right? Horrible.
But it's either the dead one or whoever rescues them dies protecting them because they're the dumb one.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid, so. But as he's running up the stairs, he can see the lantern lights getting closer and closer. And as he got closer, now he could see that the lantern lights are actually, like, a long row of people with a red lantern in their right hand. And the people who, they're all lined up, they're all wearing, like, straw hats, like the kind you see, like, the monks wearing. Mm-hmm. And they're all wearing white hakama kimonos. Mm. So then he sees this long row of people walking up the stairs. And he's thinking, like, what is this? Like, what are they doing? And at this point, he's still super curious. So he keeps running up the stairs and he ends up running past the person at the end of the long line of people. Mm. And as he passes this person, he turns around to look at the person's face. And that's when he sees that the person, like, walking up the stairs, their face is, like, sticking out, protruding out. Mm. And at first he didn't know what he was looking at. Mm. But then he realizes that it's a fox face. Mm. Like a fox head.
Mm.
And then when he saw this, he screamed and he ran back down the stairs. Like, as fast as he was, just running on until he got to the car. And he jumped into the car and he's like, let's go. So then they sped out of there.
I like how his brother didn't bother following. Like, you know how I was saying, like, oh, it's like whoever has to protect their ass is the one that dies. It's like, yeah, nobody came to protect him.
The kid ran up. His brother didn't even go.
And they're just like, oh, well, let's just wait down and see what happens.
What if he doesn't come back?
They would have driven off without him. It sounded like, didn't he just say he ran into the car? Like, everyone was waiting for him in the car. They weren't, like, waiting outside the car.
So then they, like, speed off into the night. And, like, in the car, his brother's friend, who had run up, like, turns to him and is like, oh, you saw it too, right? And they, like, talk about what they saw. And then the whole car ride after that, till they got home, they heard this, like, low moan type sound come from the car radio. Like, even though they, like, switched it off or, like, changed the channel.
No.
And then another thing he thought that was odd about what he had seen, like, with the row of people walking up the stairs is, like, normally if you're walking up the stairs, you would take, like, a step with your right foot and then take the next step with your left, right?
Yeah.
But the people he saw that night, they would take a step with their, like, right foot, then bring their left foot right next to the right foot and, like, line it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then take another step up with their left foot and then line up the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they were walking like this and they were all synchronized. And, yeah, so that's, like, just something that he had saw that he just, like, cannot explain what exactly it was. And then DJ Hibiki, who told this story, said, like, years after he heard this story from Hiroki-san, he had stumbled upon a book on, like, Ommyoji, who, like, in ancient Japan, they had these, like, specialists in, like, magic and divination. They were kind of, like, sorcerers. Like, in pop culture stuff, they're shown as sorcerers. And they did, like, everything. Like, divination stuff and, like, protecting the capital from, like, evil spirits. Like, in history, like, a lot of times in Japanese history, like, sometimes the capital is moved, right, to a new location.
Yeah.
That's usually typically because of the Ommyoji. Because they're just, like, bad energy from something bad's gonna happen to the capital. You have to move it. Like, that kind of thing. And then they also, like, obviously, they're also known to have summoned, like, Shikigami. Like, the demon spirit, like, god spirit stuff. So then he was reading a book on that when he saw that there's, like, a specific type of step. And Ommyoji would do, like, do the, where they take one step forward and then line up the foot and then step another. And it was, like, called, like, henbai.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do this to ward off bad spirits or, like, cleanse the air. It's, like, kind of like a ritual spell charm type thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was exactly what the guy had seen, but I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know what that means for him, though. What exactly did he see?
Yeah.
Like, it was probably some sort of ritual, but, like,
was it, maybe it was, like, a toward,
and it can be
ritual?
Good or bad.
Oh.
The step.
Okay.
I thought it was only good.
Yeah,
because
it
typically,
like, it was only good.
Typically, it's done in a good way. Like, I think nobilities usually have them do the henbai when they're going on a, like, a trip or something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So for safe travels, like, the Ommyoji would do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, so it could be bad too. Like, another scary storyteller, Murakami Rock, which we'll probably cover some of his stories for sure too. But he had said, like, a customer, he is a scary storyteller for Thriller Night,
mm-hmm.
the scary story bar in Hokkaido and in Tokyo. And he was saying a customer of his was like, oh my gosh, like, look at this. Like, my friend sent me this. It's from his security camera. And in the security camera, there is a woman, like, dressed in a white hakama, like, passes in front of the security camera and then, like, walks back. And she's, like, walking over and over and over. And then she has, like, a stick. And on the end of the stick is those, like, human-shaped charm paper things. And she's, like, waving it in front of the camera. And he's, like, what is this? And, yeah, he says that his friend was saying that it's, like, oh, this is the neighbor. She is cursing me and my family.
Why?
And she, like, has been doing this every night, like, at a certain time in the middle of the night. And he's like, the crazy part is that, like, the hour that she does it is the exact same time my mother and sister passed away. Oh. And then when they were looking closely at the video, like, the way she was walking was the take one step and then, like, line up the second foot, take another step, line up the... So she was walking like that across and walking like...
before his family died? Before his...
Like, he's been doing this. Oh. Or she? She? Sorry, yeah, it's like an old woman, but yeah.
But, like, before... Was her curse effective, is my question.
I think it was effective, right?
Oh. Creepy.
So, I mean, next is him, maybe? That guy's friend? So it's, like, super removed. It's, like, a customer's friend.
Yeah.
Was experiencing this situation. So then that sounds like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure.
So I guess it's just part of a ritual?
It's just a part of a ritual. Like, it's something is, like, a common, not way of, not common. Yeah, it's a way of walking for spiritual stuff.
That's creepy.
So it's really creepy.
Well, I guess the creepy part is the fact that it was, like, a fox head.
Yeah, so then I'm like, what does that mean? Like, maybe he had stumbled upon something that was, like, good for the mountain.
Maybe it was, like, a ritual. Maybe it was a fox mask.
Because the Omyoji is known to be able to call on, like, Shikigami. Yeah. So, and there was, like, a fox face. It could be that, like, that specific temple was, like, fox temple.
Yeah, spiritual fox temple.
It's still super creepy, though.
That's super creepy.
Yeah, and just the idea, I mean, that he turned and looked, he assumed it would be, like, a human face. So then when he saw it, like, sticking out, he, like, didn't even... like, register. It didn't register that it was, like,
some... Especially at night when it's, like, the... It's not very easy to see what you're seeing. It's, like, if it's not what you're expecting, it's just, like, there's a disconnect in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a very interesting, creepy story. Like, what is it exactly that he saw? But it doesn't seem like it affected, like, him in a negative way after seeing them like this, so...
What I'm wondering also is, like, the car... Like, the weird
moaning noise,
noise through the radio, like...
Yeah, that's...
But why?
Maybe it's to make sure they don't come back or something.
If I was hearing that on the radio, I would definitely not have been, like, talking about what I saw. I'd just be like, let's just stay quiet until we get home.
Get home,
And, like, hold hands.
Especially as, like, a first or second grader. Yeah.
All these college boys and a little kid just holding hands and, like, praying to be
and
safe.
And it's funny, I didn't even, like... think, like, why didn't anyone run after him?
Yeah.
Like, you'd think someone, at least his brother would have.
At least his brother would have, or, like, yeah, one of them, especially because, like, they haven't seen what happened up there, but ain't nobody chased after him. They were just waiting in the car.
So, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
If he didn't come down, like, right away, would have they have just been like, let's just go.
I'm sure they would have, at least a brother would have gone up to look for him, but I'm like, that's kind of like too late. Yeah,
like, how fast could a little kid run compared to a college student? Like, couldn't his brother catch him, like, fairly quickly if he bothered?
If he bothered. Oh, gosh. But yeah, so it's really interesting, and actually it reminded me, I mean, it's very loosely related, but this was something I heard super recently that I had never heard my mother tell me this story. But apparently her aunt, so my great aunt, used to be, like, Shinto, like, religion. Her religion was Shinto. And she used to go to a temple or, like, a jinja that was, like, fox god. But then I guess later on, she decided to change to Buddhism, and she, like, got rid of everything. And the first day, she started, like, putting her hands together to, like, the scroll that she had, the Buddhist scroll thing. She said she, like, suddenly felt, like, intense pain. And then she started, her body started hopping, like, on its own. And she was hopping, and it, like, hurt and it hurt. And then, like, she said, like, a fox came out of her and then, like, ran off.
Her protective spirit was like, F this, you don't believe in me anymore, bye.
Bye, I'm out of here. So, yeah, so I was like, why have I never heard this? She's like, I don't know, you never asked.
How would you know to ask? It's like, mom, did anything happen?
Supernatural. She always says nothing ever happened, but yeah, she suddenly was like, yeah, your aunt also, like, fox god left her body.
Doesn't this prove something? If you're Shinto, don't give it up.
Yeah, and I'm like, how, in what situation did my great aunt tell you this? And like, oh, ha, ha, like, when I switched over, a fox, like, I started hopping, and it hurt, and the fox left my body.
And she just randomly told your mom.
Yeah,
so. And she was, like, fine with still being Buddhist.
Yeah, she was like,
guess that was something. It's too late. They already left. Might as well put all of my energy into Buddhism.
Yeah, so it was interesting, though. I didn't know that, so. Mm. Yeah, all these, like, fox related, mm-hmm. like spiritual stories. Interesting. Yeah, we have a ton of fox. Like yokai fox and like god.
Yeah, I guess fox. Like it's such a long history. Like,
history,
foxes,
yeah.
Foxes are such a very special creature in that type of lore for mm-hmm. Japan.
So we'll probably do more stories, fox related stories later on. So that's it for Kaidan this week. Hope you enjoyed those yokai stories,
yeah.
Or found them interesting at least. And since we mentioned like a couple things, like there's like drawings mm-hmm. and images, so we'll probably post those up on our Instagram mm-hmm. at Kaidan Scary Stories.
Yeah.
So if you're curious, you can go and check it out there. And yeah, hope everyone stays safe and cool during this heat wave.
Oh my gosh, it's so hot.
So hot. So yes, till next week. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.